The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland, the return of producer number 9. So much more than a producer. How you doing, man?
Doing well, man. How you doing?
I'm good. I say return, but you missed 2 days.
Missed 2 days.
Thursday and Friday. People missed you, though, man. Wyatt Tomchek was great in your stead.
Sure, he did a great job, as he always does.
A wonderful job, but people missed you, man.
Yeah. Well, it was nice to get a couple days off, just a little breather.
Where'd you go? What'd you do?
Went down to Phoenix for a couple days, Phoenix area a couple days. Just had a buddy move down there, so spent some time with him, watched some games. I was back here by the weekend, though.
Okay.
Just hanging out, relaxing.
So you are aware that we now have a Final Four, sir? You aware of this?
So what a couple games yesterday, man.
By the way, on the show, Mike Somich today to talk Final Four with us. Matty Cox from Three Man Weave among our Final Four focused guests today. But let me just start by saying, let's just take betting aside for a second. If the NCAA and if the networks could have constructed which four teams they would want to be in the Final Four, I'm not sure you could have done better than this.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you could have. Let's just go through the character profiles. In UConn, you have the Goliath. UConn, which has led their four NCAA tournament games by 39, 30, 32, and 31 at different points. Not to mention winning that first one by 39, but 39, 30, 32, and 31. They have won, if you extend it back into last season, the defending champs have won 10 straight NCAA tourney games by 13 or more points. That's the longest streak of all time. They've trailed in this tournament for a grand total of 23 seconds. And if you go back to the Sweet 16 of last year, so that's four games, 16, 8, 4, and championship last year, and the first four games of this tournament, you're talking about 8 basketball games, 320 minutes. They have trailed for a grand total of 5 minutes and 50 seconds in those 320 minutes. So you have your Goliath. And by the way, I go back in NCAA history and try to think of an equivalent to this. And you think of the great Georgetown teams, which went to 3 title games. You know, the competition then was such that you couldn't blow out everybody. The Duke, Leitner, Hurley, Hill teams, the competition was such that you couldn't blow out every team. The only comp I can think of is the last back-to-back championship team, which was Florida back in 2006 and 2007. Even that group didn't do it quite like the numbers I just threw out. If you go back to 2006, 2007, Florida's wins, yeah, they had their share of, they had about 6 double-digit wins in those 2 championship runs. But there was a 4-point win, and there was 7-point wins and 8-point wins. I mean, they were dominant those 2 seasons for sure. But not like this group. My God. So that's your Goliath that you handpick, again, with all those numbers I just gave out. And if you had to pick a team where you would say, okay, we got to pick someone who has a puncher's chance against that Goliath in the Final Four, maybe you might pick Alabama. Maybe you would. A team that is a traditional football school that's never been to a Final Four before is a ragtag group. If you think about it, Stevenson was a 5-star, but Grant Nelson, Estrada, Reitzel, I know he's hurt, but these guys were transfers. 3 new assistant coaches, but the highest scoring team in college basketball, a team that makes over 11 threes per game, that's a puncher's chance. Maybe that's the team you select to go up against your Goliath. And then on the other side, you have the most redemptive of all stories, the biggest redemption story of them all, Purdue trying to do what Virginia did 5 years ago, which has become the second team that lost to a number 16 seed as a 1, Purdue having done so against Fairleigh Dickinson last year, Virginia famously having done so in 2018 against UMBC, commuter school outside of Baltimore, and then coming back the next year and winning the national title. And good on Matt Painter and Purdue, with, by the way, the best player in the country, and a Wooden Award winner in Zach Edey, back-to-back, it looks like. That would probably be a third team you would select, the best redemption story, against your huge Cinderella. And that is what you get at NC State. A team who, I mean, This does now have Jim Valvano 1983 feels from 41 years ago. And I mentioned this when we were talking March Madness either last week or the week before, but that 1983 team, they lost, I think, 10 of their 9 of their last 19. I mean, that was almost the whole season, really, back in those days. But they were not a juggernaut at all in the regular season. They did beat Virginia and UNC in the ACC tournament. Does that sound familiar? So did this group of NC State players. And then I remembered, Kelly, this is a true story, my math teacher at the time, and I pray he's listening, or one of my classmates from back then is listening. But I remember before that NCAA tournament, my math teacher, Steve Sorkin from North Carolina, he said, you know the team I would watch out for is State. Watch out for State. And they come out in the NCAA tournament, and Pepperdine takes them to 2 overtimes. They even trailed in the first overtime of that game by 6 and came back to win that game, and the rest is history. This version of the Wolfpack, I mean, this might even be more incredible. They were, Evan Abrams tweeted this out yesterday, they were 200-1 to make the Final Four before this tournament started. 4 games ago, they were 200-1 to make the Final Four. Congratulations, anybody had that. But the similarities with the Wolfpack team of 41 years ago, of Derek Wittenberg, Cindy Lowe, Thurl Bailey, Terry Gannon, Cozell McQueen, they lost their last 4 regular season games. They lost the last 7 of 9. They lost the last 10 of 14. And they get to their first Final Four since 1983, winning 5 straight over 5 days in D.C. in the ACC tournament. We joked they won more games at Capital One Arena than the Wizards had all year long in those 5 days. And then here they are, 4 in a row as an 11 seed. And let's go back to that semifinal game in the ACC tournament. Talk about, you know, the Wolfpack from 41 years ago having that near miss against Pepperdine to start out March Madness. This NC State team on Friday of the ACC tournament, Kelly, the semifinal game against Virginia, they're down 3 with 5 seconds left. And Isaac McNeely of Virginia, an 88.5% free throw shooter, clanks the front end of a 1-1. I believe it was the front end of a 1-1. Clanks it, rebound, and then Michael O'Connell banks in a desperation 3 that not only did banked in, but banked and then did a little roll around the hoop and in. If that does not happen, an 88.5% free throw shooter missing a free throw, if that does not happen, they don't get to the dance at all. That is how thin of a margin this is. It's incredible. I don't think you could ask for 4 better stories. Yep. Or handpick 4 better teams. Now, I say that on the one hand, and on the other hand, I'm like, yeah, what are you talking about, Gil? But look at the spreads. This is just
from a narrative.
From a narrative standpoint.
You're absolutely right.
Absolutely.
You're absolutely right. I think all I could think watching the end of that Tennessee-Purdue game yesterday, though, was, is this the next best game we're going to get outside of whatever potential national championship is, which I think is UConn and Purdue?
I mean, maybe, right? It feels that way. Listen, I cashed a UConn Final Four ticket plus 180. Whoop-de-doo, right? I have the Alabama futures, one of which I got in June, the other of which I got in November, 60-1 and 40-1.
Alabama this week.
So here's the deal with my Alabama ticket. And we've won, like 2022, we did nothing but win futures on this show. 2023 was the year of near misses, right? We had a stretch where we like had a bunch of near misses also with, in 2022 as well, with Soto and NL MVP Max Duggan for Heisman, whole bunch of stuff. This Alabama one is the closest I think I ever remember getting to the promised land on a ticket and still feeling to my and still saying to myself, it has 0.0000001% chance. Yeah, well,
I think you're, but like as you kind of hinted at when you just brought up that matchup, like, yep, this, okay, you're going against UConn.
Puncher's
this
chance.
Is the team I want because, yes, they're gonna take a lot of threes. If you get a shooting variance to go your way, it's one game. It's one game. All you one gotta game. Do is have the percentages go your way one game, and you can get out escape with one.
Well, people were asking me 2 questions. What are you gonna do with your ticket? Well, one, you can't do anything with your ticket. Yeah. They're massive dogs. You can't do it. You'd hope for Alabama to get off to like a 10-0 start, let's say, and then in game it somehow. Even that wouldn't be too early in the game. You still couldn't do anything. So.
You need a 10-point lead in half.
That's right. You can't do anything in that early either. The other one is, what does Alabama have to do to win? Alabama has to Alabama has to do what Villanova did in the 1985 championship against Georgetown, which is shoot damn near 80%, but in this case, do it from three. That's the only recipe. It's the only recipe. And if you're going to pick a team that has a shot at doing that, this is this group of Crimson Tide players, which is just an incredible story. The formula. We don't have to spend much time on it, but the tried and true formula, which we've gone through week after week after week. Last 33 champs, more assists than turnovers. 31 of the last 33 had a head coach with prior Sweet 16 experience. 27 of the last 28 went in the tournament with at least three wins versus teams in the top 10% of RPI. Last 28 had a top 75 strength of schedule. And then the KenPoms, 20 of the last 21 in the top 20 in adjusted offensive efficiency. And 20 of the last 21 champs in top 20 in adjusted defensive efficiency. And remember that the 2014 UConn Huskies were really the exceptions on almost all of those. Kevin Ollie as well, the coach of that team. The only exceptions being Danny Hurley was not a Sweet 16 coach when he won with UConn last year. And Baylor was the one exception in the adjusted defensive efficiency. Well, the formula is very clear. UConn and Purdue can win this, and Alabama and NC State cannot. It's that simple. UConn's been in it every week. They've never been out of the formula. And Purdue, as you remember, has been out to in to out to in. They've never been more than a tick out, and they've been in for a while now here. That's it. Formula's like, it's UConn or Purdue. And that's what the betting markets, of course, say. UConn, a double-digit favorite in their game against Alabama. And in the case of Purdue, not quite double-digit favorite. That's what we got. We'll talk about most outstanding player in the tournament. More NCAAs on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook, because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager. $500 for every $1,000. You can earn up to $2,500 worth of bonus bets in your first 3 days on DraftKings. Do not wait. Download the app now. Use code ANG when you sign up and earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager now. It's a heck of a deal right there. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Jason H11, I thought you were going to start off the show with an April Fool's joke telling us the name of the sushi place. Well, Jason, you thought incorrectly.
I hate this day so much. For us working in sports and sports media, the fake news on Twitter, and like, I don't even know if I fell for one this morning. I think I did. FAU-USF football game on an aircraft carrier? I mean, people are laughing at me on Twitter. I retweeted it. I think it's a joke, but I've seen a basketball game played on an aircraft carrier.
You know what April Fool's joke I fell for? I looked at the NBA Defensive Player of the Year odds, and they're going opposite of what they should be. Like, what a joke. I thought it was hilarious. We'll get into that later. Ridiculous. Corbin, I think the levels of professionalism on this show cannot be downplayed. Gil keeping his train of thought and not messing up at all as an alarm blares in the background, screams out, he says. Or Kelly keeping his cool as the old degenerate gamblers push their way behind the set. You know, Corbin, I'm glad you bring that up. It's just a circus act here is what we do. It's amazing how we pull this off every day.
I wonder if that dude hit. He tried every machine at Bar Canada.
Is that the guy at the end over there? Is that a different guy?
That's a new guy. Yeah.
Chance Copperpot. Betting all tourney dogs update. Minus 1.1 units. I stuck with it after the favorites run. There you go. For those who wanted to do the whole...
Wait, who's that? Corbin?
Remember,
buddy Corbin?
Remember all the... There was this thing after the first day or
you
two.
You bet every dog?
There's this thing where everyone was like, you just bet the dog on the money line. You'll make money. And then all the favorites just destroyed them after a couple days. Yeah, so he says it's minus 1.1 units when all is said and done.
Okay.
And then Tim Kafer, nothing is funnier than Kelly yelling, splitting bets with his mic potted down. I'm with you, man. There is nothing better.
So sometimes the D needs a wake-up call. You know what I mean? Like, we got a group at Sigma Derby right now. Nobody's drinking, but they need a little wake-up call.
And one last one, Gil. I'm sorry. One last one. Jaffers 23, because this is against anybody can fill out a bracket. He said, Gil, an 8-year-old girl's bracket at our golf course that awards drinking bonus points. We're in Wisconsin. He said, this any good? First prize, free membership. She has Carolina. She has NC State and Bama in her finals.
That's great. That's how great. Does that work if she wins?
Yeah.
She's not old enough for a membership.
Hello,
to the
Ashley.
Club.
You're a little too young. Jake Hahn is with us, ladies and gentlemen, to talk hockey and all things golf. He comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Jake, of course, the co-host of The Point and the Fantasy Hockey Show on Sirius XM NHL. You can follow him at jhahn4. That's the number four. What's happening, Jake?
Not too much, guys. I have not fallen for any April Fool's jokes just yet, but a friend of mine did fall for cheap beers at the Rogers Center this year. I think a local Toronto blog site put out something that said $7 beers, so he got a little bit excited for that. So some people are falling for things out there. I wish that one was true.
How much is an actual beer at the Rogers Center?
Yeah,
like $15, $16.
Man.
Yeah,
Canadian dollars, but still.
Yeah, exactly. It's not even real money, but it's still expensive.
I need Matt Brown for the conversion rate.
Yeah, we do need Matt Brown.
I can't help you there.
Hey, Jake, you had one of these golfers that finished a stroke behind yesterday, the Houston Open.
I did. The mess of golfers that finished one behind Steven Yeager. And I mean, I really thought we were going to see a playoff there after the dart Scotty threw on 18. He puts the pressure on Yeager. Yeager almost makes the putt to just win outright. And then I'm thinking, okay, I know Scotty struggled with these short putts, but he should be able to make this 5-footer and we get a playoff and we could see him try to go for three wins in three starts. So, hey, congrats to anybody that had Yeager. I know a lot of people have been betting him for a very long time, waiting for that payoff. I have not been one of those people. So, but I know the feeling of being on a specific golfer and, you know, continuing to say, no, at some point it's going to happen. And then eventually it pays off. So anybody that was on the Yeager bombs train, I think nice to see him pay off finally yesterday.
Yeah. And we learned last week that you're a tennis guy too. Did you have either Jannik Sinner or Danielle freaking Collins in Miami to win it?
I did have a piece of Danielle Collins on the outright, actually. I didn't grab it pre-tourney, but after about a round or two of watching her play and seeing the form that she was in, and she's just one of these players that she can find that form. Obviously, there's a boom or bust quality where, you know, you feel like she could maybe lose in the early rounds as well. But once you see, you know, even through a round or two of a tennis tournament form like that, I think it was worth a sprinkle. So I was glad to hit on Collins. And I mean, Jannik Sinner just continues to prove
amazing.
That.
Yeah.
Him and Carlos Alcaraz, I think these are the guys to beat right now at this point. And obviously, Alcaraz went out in kind of shocking fashion, really, over the weekend. But I think it's Sinner, it's Alcaraz. Those are the guys you're looking at moving forward. We can never rule out Novak Djokovic, obviously. But I just think Sinner and Alcaraz are playing at such a high level right now. It's unbelievable.
Hockey question. All right. We are on the doorstep of the playoffs. April is here. We'll round out the regular season and the jockeying for position will have ceased. The musical chairs will have stopped. What is the postseason? Obviously, division winners, top three in each division, and then two wild cards per conference is how it works in the NHL. What is the potential first round matchup that you as a hockey guy hopes happens because you know instinctively that the betting line per your assessment will be off and you can exploit it?
I think for me, as somebody that's been really high on the Nashville Predators for a few weeks now and their unbelievable run, really from going to a team that nobody saw coming this year to, okay, this is a nice story, they're in the playoff race, to, okay, wow, this team might actually beat someone in the playoffs and become a bit of a contender. And I think the odds market has been a little slow to adjust on them. I'm curious how they handle them come playoff time. And maybe some of it will depend on how they finish the season and what kind of form they go in these last 10 games or so. But I think if Nashville got Vancouver, for example, in the first round, that's an underdog I would be willing to back. The only downside to that is I think they would end up becoming a very trendy underdog pick. And those, as you guys know, in really any sport, that's never a good thing when we all pile onto one sort of trendy underdog upset type pick. So for me, it's Nashville if they do end up hooking a Vancouver. Heck, I even think they could go toe-to-toe with a Colorado and give them a great series, as much as the Avs can push the pace. So you'd probably get a better price on that Colorado series, to be completely honest. But I'm looking to back the Preds in the first round against whoever they play.
Okay, I like that answer. Here's the other one, and I hesitate to do this when it's when we're talking about the hockey playoffs, because, listen, baseball and hockey, most random postseasons of all. But I will ask it anyway. Give me your group of teams that you feel legitimately can win the Stanley Cup this year.
It's honestly, it's a large group this year, guys. And I don't want to hedge too much and give you like 9 or 10 teams, because I think that's probably going a little bit too far. But I think your two Metro favorites are just a class above everybody else in their division. And that's the New York Rangers and the Carolina Hurricanes. I think the Florida Panthers are clearly capable of doing it, like what we saw last year, and they came really close. I would put Boston on the edge of this conversation. I don't want to disrespect the Bruins, another great regular season for them. So I think they have a legitimate shot. I think the Avs and the Stars in the Central have a legit shot at it. And in the Pacific, I'm still really only looking at the Edmonton Oilers as the team that has the ceiling to be able to go on and actually win a Stanley Cup with prime Connor McDavid on their roster. So that's probably 7 teams right there in my mind that I would be grouping together with very legitimate claims to a cup this year.
All right, less than 3 weeks left in the regular season. We have 8 games in hockey tonight. Do you like anything?
Well, I think Islanders Flyers is a game that jumps out. And you asked me too, Gil, what first round matchup I would be looking at more from a betting perspective. But I think from an excitement standpoint, if we could somehow get Islanders Rangers still, if the Islanders want to pass the Flyers here and maybe get into that second wild card spot, and we could actually get the battle in New York in the first round, I think that would be a lot of fun. That's the game of the night in terms of playoff implications. And Philly is coming off a couple of horrible losses. They had Montreal and Chicago, two of the worst teams in the NHL, and they got smoked by both of them in the middle of a playoff race. So John Tortorella cannot be happy about this. The one thing I will say about the Flyers, whenever they faced adversity this year and they've had some bad losses, they've come out of it and played quite well. So I'm going to give the Flyers a chance here tonight, closer to a pick'em price. I think they're around minus 120 right now. So maybe shop that around, see if you can get it closer to a pick'em. But I think Philly steps up after facing some adversity and a couple of bad losses.
All right. Any other play tonight?
Let's go to the New York Rangers, who I just talked about. And I think this team is a class above almost everybody else in their division outside of Carolina. We know how good the Canes are as well, but they're up against the Pittsburgh Penguins tonight. They're about minus 200 on the money line, but the Rangers are a team I'm comfortable backing on the puck line. I think when they play to their ceiling, you get a little bit of plus money. Maybe you have to sweat the empty netter at the end of the game, but I think they know what's on the table right now. This is a team that's priming their game, getting ready for the playoffs, and trying to lock up that one seed in the Eastern Conference and home ice advantage. So I don't think you get a sleepy Rangers team tonight.
Jake Hahn, everybody, co-host of The Point, the fantasy hockey show on Sirius XM NHL. Jake, always a pleasure, man. Enjoy.
Always love jumping on with you guys. Have yourself a great weekend. Masters week next week. I can't wait.
Oh, yes. Augusta, where for the whatever consecutive year I will not be attending. Bucket list. We'll come back. College hoops with Matty Cox from Three Man Weave. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada, the D. Lovely, gorgeous, just absolutely majestic downtown Las Vegas. Still to come this hour, we'll talk to our own Mike Somich, co-host of The Handle. He does it with a Matt Brown. Have you heard of that guy before? Matt Brown.
Yeah, once or twice.
Okay. They do The Handle on the weekends here at VSiN. Somich will be by to talk college hoops with us. We still have to talk NBA because these award markets need to be talked about. This gentleman, let's put it this way. Less than 10 seconds after Tommy Lloyd in Arizona was knocked out of the NCAA tournament, I texted him, and he responded by saying, minus 1,000, I would get this text. It's Matt Cox from Three Man Weave, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Matty?
I'm swell, probably better than Tommy Lloyd right now and his PR team, especially with the Matt Painters of the world getting off the tournament hot seat,
yes,
so to speak. So, yeah, a winner for you, and another winner, sort of, with the Alabama advancement. I'm not sure if you've been beating your chest on the show. I have listened today,
no.
But happy for you.
Quite the opposite.
Your reward is, yeah, your reward is Connecticut. Yeah, so that's tough.
I'm not a hedger by nature anyway. So it wasn't like I was looking ahead, you know, not that you can't hedge it right now. Not that I was even looking to do so. I mean,
the option would be nice.
But to have the option might be nice. That's right. And the option theoretically, not theoretically, but would, I guess I should say theoretically, would exist for the championship game, but maybe not if they played Purdue. Maybe it wouldn't exist for that either. Let me ask you, I started the show by saying, betting aside, if the NCAA committee and the networks primarily could have handpicked four teams with four narratives, I don't think they could have done better than this. Do you?
No, you're right. The NC State thing is just a quintessential Cinderella story, other than the fact that they are from a Power Six school. So maybe if you could just put them in like a low major, they kind of check all the boxes. Just the run they've been on, right? And the DJ Burns likability factor. Purdue, absolutely slam dunk. UConn, the dominant juggernaut force. And then, yeah, Alabama is the black sheep, right? All of the other three teams play throwback, you know, 90s NBA basketball through the post, inside out, and Bama's going to come out with a different... I saw someone posted the Four Dragons meme, and everyone was kind of going back and forth, like, well, is the outlier Goofy Dragons at Alabama because of how they play, or is it just NC State because they're, well, you know, NC State and ranked just outside the top 40 in most of these metrics?
Yeah, who's the black sheep? All right, so what's... By the way, as I say that again, I must apologize. With apologies to Houston, who had the Jamal Shedd injury... And I just feel like they just got I feel so bad for them because it's just
we all watched that game live. Actually, we were over at Circa and everyone just went right to their phones immediately live. Bet.
Oh, dude,
Duke. And it just felt so slimy. I felt like it was just blood money. It's like, and it just feels so wrong as I hit confirm. And that was inevitable.
I'm glad you brought that up because I had forgotten about that. So 7.5 was out there. I wasn't quick enough to get to 7.5. I got a 6.5. I got a 5.5. And then about a minute later, I bet Duke money line at a very low money line plus price, but still a money line nonetheless.
Okay, right.
But it was just, I didn't feel slimy at all. I did. I know what you mean. I felt a little slimy, but then in the end, you don't feel slimy because how many things go against you in sports betting? But it was just, you know, Kelvin Sampson said he goes, there's, I guess, even on the halftime show, let's take him out of it because he'd be biased. But I can't remember who it was who said, Jay Wright. He said, there is nobody more important to his team in college basketball than Shedd is to Houston. Hyperbole or pretty accurate?
No, I think accurate. I was going to look at the numbers like, you know, like versus Edie for Purdue, for example. I mean, you could argue he's probably a little bit more important. Yeah. But what Shedd means defensively, too, you know, cut the head off of the snake type of thing. But then offensively, you saw. And I was kind of giving Sampson some critique. I was like, they got to do something different. Like, it was just sort of like, well, our star player is gone and we're going to try and muck it up and hope we can score by playing volleyball at the rim. But there's no alterations there. But yeah, you could see without him on offense, they were almost more lost than how much they missed him defensively.
All right. So let's start with these two games on Saturday. NC State, Purdue. Purdue, 9-point favorites, total 146.5. Beyond giving your thoughts on either of those, how do you think this goes given the Zach Edey foul conundrum that everybody saw in its full glory yesterday?
It's again, the whistle can go both ways here, right? I hope they have the Edey versus Burns matchup, right? I hope Painter and Keats get in the back alley and agree that they're going to put those guys on each other so the world can get what we want to see with that. I wonder how the whistle will play out. What I've noticed in some of my research looking at some of these referee foul tendencies, the deeper you go, the less fouls they tend to call. Some of the older refs, more established refs, just don't call as many fouls. But Edie's been kind of an exception. I'd also argue that he just is actually fouled almost every time down. We have college refs who aren't that good, right? Calling, officiating Shaq. And, you know, the NBA officials can officiate Shaq.
Yeah.
So it's like they have no chance. So, I mean, if you're mad because they don't call anything, if you're mad because they call too much, like, well, if you're just sort of wishful thinking there. I think the whistle will probably come back down to normal, just given all the scrutiny that's been on it. But he will still command a pretty heavy whistle with just the sheer force that he is. NC State has enough bodies. I think they can kind of play the foul game. They can use up 5-10 fouls with those bench pieces and try and keep Burns out of foul trouble, which was basically the only reason Duke was up in that game first half. Right? Burns sits, Duke gets that big lead. They put him in second half and Duke has no answer. A team that's played NC State twice, that's what's scary, right? Is the team that's played it twice had no response. John Shire, make an adjustment, please. But obviously Zach Edey, DJ Burns will have a much harder time scoring over him. And we'll see how that plays out. I do like Purdue. I've been against NC State the last two games, so I'll probably get burned a third time, but there's some data to kind of point to the fact that, that some of these teams that are double digit seeds send run out of steam in the spread range of like 5 to 10. Now I did see there's a post. There's only been four times a favorite of 11 or more has made the final four four times a favorite was laying 11 or more in the Final Four. All four of those did not cover, which kind of goes to the direction of Alabama, which we'll get to in a second. But there is some data to kind of back up that Alabama versus UConn might actually be too big. But this one in that kind of 8 to 9 range, we'll see where the number moves. I do like Purdue here.
Boy, it's tough. It's tough to get in front of it's tough to lay points like that against this Wolfpack team.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, that Purdue-Tennessee game was weird for another reason yesterday. Not just the, people are going to seize on 33 free throw attempts versus 11, which I pointed out earlier. Yeah, it's 22, and that is a little more than normal, but Purdue does tend to get the free throw advantage. A couple things. Yeah. One, you brought up the Shaq thing, which I'm glad you did. For those who don't remember, like, Shaq created this problem for officials, right? There was never someone that big and strong that you had to make an assessment. Okay, did that guy just get knocked down because Shaq is just that big and strong that it's almost not his fault, right? Like, it created this weird assessment you had to make. I'm sorry, I'm going all over the place, but that Purdue-Tennessee game was weird for one other reason. There were 6 different spurts in that game of 7-0 or greater runs. Purdue had a 7-0 early, take it from 17-12 deficit to 19-17. Tennessee then had a 9-0 to go from 23-21 to 32-21. Purdue then had an immediate 13-0 run. Later, Purdue had a 7-0 run. Tennessee had an immediate 7-0 run after that. Purdue had a 7-0 run later to take the big lead at the end, which was the one that really mattered. Ultimately, that was a little weird. Did that concern you at all about Purdue?
It does, and Purdue's guards concern me because they were very timid. They really shrunk from the moment when it was like, it really felt like Zach Edey was the only hope they had to score. I mean, even like late in the final 30 seconds, final minute, it was like, hey, Zach Edey, can you also come help us break this press and catch the ball and make free throws? Because, Lawyer and Smith had just missed a few.
Right.
So I don't like that as their confidence momentum heading into this game. So I do have some concerns with that there, but this fertility, I guess, does open up some live betting opportunities. The other game, I think Bama UConn has some major live betting opportunities with the spurtability of Bama. Now you could argue that could be a one way spurt the entire way, but I do think that those runs could make Purdue vulnerable. If those guards continue to kind of, play a little more timid, hesitate to shoot shots they should shoot and be overly reliant on Edey. I mean, Purdue's at their best when they have balance. I know Edey was dominant, but I do think their highest ceiling is when he is more like 25-12 range and the rest of the guys are making their shots, not when it's Edey going for 40 and 20 and the rest of the guys are sort of like, I don't know.
What about Bama and UConn? That's the nightcap. UConn favored by 11.5, 161.5 the total.
Yeah, you can break this game down a million ways. The angle here is how good Donovan Klingon's been at the rim. And how reliant Bama is scoring at the rim as well as behind the 3-point arc, but they do always supplement their threes with layups, right? They don't take anything in the mid range. I think Nate Oates is going to have to throw a curveball here. I think he's a good coach. I think you look at what happened against Illinois when Brett Underwood was stubbornly just throwing everyone at the rim against Klingon, and Klingon was just promptly swiping it into the stands. I think you're going to see some willingness to take some mid range jump shots that's outside their general shot diet. And I do think you'll see Bama actually kind of find ways to score that are creative or unlike how they've scored in the past, because UConn's just such a different beast. You can't just bring your game and show up there. You have to throw some curveballs. And I think Oates is a good enough coach. Now, was that going to be good enough? We'll see. Defensively, that's the concern. But those Bama bigs, man, they're not big, but they are athletic and they are long. They are active. Can they get enough activity on the glass to keep the possession tug of war in check? Again, Gil, I'm stubbornly back right here. 12 is a big number. I know every number we've said that all tournament against Connecticut seem big. This one does feel especially big, given they can, neutralize that margin with a hot shooting performance.
How many threes do the Crimson Tide have to hit to win this
40.
Game?
40. It'll take 40. I think anything less than 15. If you're under 15, you're in trouble.
You got to be
in the 15 range.
Yeah, yesterday I was joking. I was saying they got to go like 15 of 16 from three. Like some
right.
it has to be. So I mean, it doesn't have to be out of 16, but they got to hit a ridiculous number of threes to have a shot at winning this game. Beyond covering, of course, should be awesome.
Right.
Matt, appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate you, fellas. Good luck to you.
Matt Cox, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line at 3MW_CBB for all three-man weave stuff. Coming back with the NBA.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook, because right now we have a VSiN exclusive offer for new DraftKings customers. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager. You can earn up to $2,500 worth of bonus bets in your first 3 days on DraftKings. Don't wait. What a deal this is. For real, it's a great deal. Download the app now. Use code ANG when you sign up and earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager. Now, Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Best listeners in the game. Michael Burns, betting St. Louis in game. You're taking your life in your own hands. That bullpen is shaky. Some injuries and Marmol. Oh, no, trust me, I know. But at 4-0, it looked pretty good. Until it didn't. Trust the glove. Shh, pox on Defensive Player of the Year. Bits. I don't know. I don't know what he means by that, but I... We were talking about my getting angry about Wembanyama Defensive Player of the Year. By the way, Michael Montesano has been angry tweeting me about most improved player the entire show this morning. He is so angry that Jalen Williams is not the favorite for that.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. He's that. This is the NBA awards rules. Second year player. Oh.
Forrest Lehman. Sixth man thoughts with Monk out for the regular season.
We're gonna hit both those awards tomorrow.
Nas have a shot? We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Yeah. The sixth man has been crazy. You could have had 20-1 tickets on everybody but Malik Monk over the past like 6 weeks. Nas Reed's gotten really short.
He's another one though. Like, so how did he get anointed the de facto favorite, and like it's unassailable that he can't be beaten?
I think he can. Yeah, we'll talk about it tomorrow.
New York Mets 16. Scott Gill, maybe you need to get Defensive Player of the Year market mover involved for Wemby tickets. What's Jason Weingarten doing? Golden Bear, got up early today, seen your play on VSiN. Thanks for starting the week with a nice small tennis dog. You got it. John Balducci, I had Jaeger. Thanks, Wes. Secretly rooting for Toasty, though. So we'd get a Cantlay and Toasty Masters pairing.
They might be a fist fight in that matchup.
Jason McKinney, I'm loving the 1.5 lines. I think he means the run lines on baseball. Hitting parlays for extra units. That's what Jason's doing. Let's see. Brian M. What we the people of Visa need is the return of O's the Mentalist to unmask the name of the sushi place once and for all. Oh, there's an idea.
There's an idea.
Is O's not return your text anymore? What's the deal?
He's gotten pretty big. He's only doing stuff for every professional football franchise and more since we've had him on.
O's is probably like, I got Dan Marley out of that guy's head. I am quitting at the top of the mountain. Hoops by Hoots, not a chance that Burns isn't immediately in foul trouble. The NCAA has proven all year they're going to do whatever needs to happen to get their guy Edie to the finals. They had the easiest regional to start, too. People have their theories.
I didn't realize this was, I knew it was an issue. I didn't realize it was such a hot-button issue because it's totally the Shaq thing.
The Shaq thing.
You don't have another player like this in college basketball. The contact barely affects him. He's that good at going up and getting it.
There was no right answer to the Shaq thing.
There's none.
There just wasn't. They'd never seen anybody like this before. Mike Somich joins us once again at Samobomb18 on Twitter from The Handle, which he does weekends here with Matt Brown. Great show, by the way. Odu Amara, super. There's the Samobomb. Mike, before we get back to UConn, Alabama, let's get some picks from you. You got a couple hockey plays tonight.
I do. I like, you know how I love these first period unders. We're going to go back to the well with the first period under tonight. We got a great matchup here. We've got the Kings going in to take on the Winnipeg Jets. The total sitting at 5.5. I think the game goes under, but I like the first period under even more. That's sitting up on the board at 1.5 right now. This Kings team, not overly offensive, especially on the road. And the Jets, one of the best first period under teams at home all season long. So we're going to play the under first period, 1.5, Kings and Jets. And then let's head to New York here. I still don't know why Pittsburgh's being priced the way that they are. The Penguins are not a good hockey team, yet they consistently get priced as a decent hockey team. They're a bad one. Tonight they're going in, they're taking on the Rangers. The Rangers, one of the best teams in the NHL. They're trying to lock up the President's Trophy for the most points in the regular season. I'll lay the 1.5 with the Rangers tonight at home. You can get that at +130. So give me under in the first period, Jets, Kings, and Rangers minus the 1.5, +130 tonight on the ice.
What is that with the Penguins? Is it just Sidney Crosby muscle memory?
They're worse than people thought they were going to be going into the year. And for some reason, you haven't seen as big of an adjustment as you really should have. The Devils, another team like this, where everyone thought they were going to be better than they were, and that adjustment just never came. Because of that, you've been able to get decent prices on them, specifically the last couple of weeks. I've been against this Penguins team four or five times on the puck line, and it's been a very profitable play. Hopefully we can keep it up here. But it's odd in hockey that you just don't, it's not as big of a betting market, so you don't see as big of adjustments here when teams don't perform, because, you know, look, the books aren't worried about this hockey game. They're worried about LSU and Iowa tonight on the women's side more than they are about a hockey game, because that's going to get triple, quadruple, 10 times the handle that any game on the ice will tonight.
That is, just in case people weren't listening earlier, that is both Mike and Jake Hahn very, very bullish on the Rangers laying a goal and a half.
Yeah, they matched. By the way, record for most viewers for a women's college basketball game was last year's title game, 9.9 million. Be interesting to see how many today's gets. We won't quite
I'll take the over.
I'll take the over too. Yeah.
Yeah.
The way ESPN's been promoting this too, I'll take the over.
By the way, do you have a play on either of the two women's semifinals, Mike? Putting you on the spot?
I do not. Okay. I've not looked at those games, so not gonna play them. I am gonna watch the LSU Iowa game, and I'm not someone who watches women's college basketball very often. So I'm gonna be one of those eyeballs that they get for it. This should be a phenomenal game, and they lucked out. They have a blank slate on Monday night to be able to have this game on TV. Everyone's gonna be watching this one.
But here's the beauty of it, right? They knew to put the scheduling of those regions, right, of this particular region for the Monday after the men's Elite Eight, right? So they were clever about that, as opposed to these other sports that have no idea what they're doing when it comes to scheduling. Yeah,
you got four star, what, the four biggest stars in women's college basketball playing in the two games tonight?
Beckers, Watkins, not to mention Clark and Reese tonight, and Flauje. Okay, a couple baseball plays today. We do have day baseball, but you have a couple plays tonight.
Yeah, we do have some day baseball. I'm going to a little bit later here. I'm going to go with the Reds plus 120 in the first five innings. When I'm betting baseball, I want to bet first five more than full game. A lot of times if I am playing a side, simply because I want to take as much variance out of this as possible. And when you have first five, you know the two major variables here are the pitchers. You know you're generally going to get them for five innings. If one of them gets shelled, either that's a great thing or a bad thing for you, is what it is. You're probably going to lose your full bet anyway if your pitcher gets shelled in the first five. I don't want to deal with bullpens. I don't want to deal with who is going to come in with lineup changes. I want to have the least number of variables possible. So I'm going to go to the Reds here. I'm going to back them first five plus 120. Andrew Abbott on the mound. He's a pitcher that I loved when he came up for the Reds midseason last year. He pitched very well. And then, like a lot of guys who are touted who come up, they kind of flame out toward the end of the season. That's what happened with Abbott. I think he has a good start to his season here. So I'll take the plus 120 price against the Phillies tonight.
And then I like your other one, too, because I got a March-April bet on the Guardians. What do you got here?
I thought you might here. Give me a. We're going to back the Guardians on Tristan McKenzie here. We're going to lay the half run in the first five in this spot. Take a nice plus money price against the Mariners team, which they're not really hitting the ball the way I expected early in the season. You've also got a pitcher who only had three starts last year, wasn't very good in any of them. Only has a 2-1 K rate. So for me, the Guardians, the right side on this one. I'm going to take the minus a half run plus 115 in the first five here. Try and get another win for your Guardians, Gil.
My Guardians. I'm sorry, Adam Burke. They're still your Guardians. I'm just borrowing them for a month and change. All right. Last thing, Mike. By the way, Mike comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, co-host of The Handle, which he does with Matt Brown, noon Saturday and Sunday Eastern. We talked a little bit about UConn and Alabama and what Alabama has to do, but you didn't give me your thoughts on, because I didn't ask, on the spread and the total, where UConn is an 11.5-point favorite. Just absolutely dominating teams. The total's at 161.5.
I'm not sure what to do in this game. I have not bet this game, so I do have some NC State already. This one to me is a real head scratcher. Look, Bama has to get up 40 to 53s in this game if they want to compete. UConn very good defensively from a 3-point perspective. So I it feels like UConn minus 11.5 is the right side. It feels wild laying 11.5 in a Final Four game, though. So I haven't been able to get to the window on that front yet. If anything here, I like the total under 161.5. Look, you're going to have new sight lines for Alabama. They're going to be chucking a bunch of threes. You almost want to bet against them making it. And UConn, while they are very efficient, they're not very fast, which should limit the number of possessions as well. So of the four options right now, if I was going to bet anything, I'd bet the under 161.5. I lean UConn 11.5 as well, but I'm probably going to end up at the window with the under. Not sure if I'll take a side.
All right, UConn, 10 straight NCAA tourney wins by 13 or more points, longest streak of all time. They have trailed since the Sweet 16 of last year. This year in this tournament, they've only trailed for 23 seconds. If you extended back four games into last year's tournament from the Sweet 16 on, so we're talking about eight games, 320 minutes. I started the show with this. They've trailed a grand total of 5 minutes and 50 seconds in this tournament. Did you ever think that this team was going to be that team?
No, I did. I mean, they lost a lot to the NBA last year, and they're better this year than they were last year. It's crazy to think that they
can
literally just refill like this and be this good after that tournament run.
Incredible. And yet, here we are. Here we are with them. Mike, always a pleasure, man. Great to see you. Great having you on Monday. Thank you.
No problem, guys. I appreciate it.
The great Mike Somich at SomoBomb18 on Twitter. Kelly and I have done all we can do. Gojo and Golic are next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.